closer after you, Yeshua. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we lift your name up high. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So turn with me to Numbers chapter 16. The Torah portion is a pretty exciting one today. Remember how we talked about how Numbers is not a boring book? All right. Example number 12 today. Korach. Numbers 16:1 through 18:32. And if we go back to the title screen, yep, Haftarah portion, Isaiah 66:1 through 24. So turn with me to Numbers 16:1. I'm going to read it in Hebrew and English as we start off our portion today. Vayichach Korach ben Yishar ben Kenat ben Levi v'Datan v'Avrim b'nei Eliav ve'on ben Pelet b'nei Reuven. Now Korach, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. It's a lot of names, and there's a few people there, but you know, in the Bible, we always like to talk about so-and-so who is descended from so-and-so, son of. And this is important. It's going to be very important when we understand who these people are today. That's part of the backstory. Last week's Torah portion, we talked about a lot of bad stuff that the children of Israel were doing. We saw the rebellion of the people. It wasn't the first time we saw the rebellion of the people, but they were just getting out and out more brazen, more emboldened that they should go back to Egypt because they had it better in Egypt. And who's this Moses guy and this Aaron guy? They don't know what they're talking about. So there was a lot of problems last week, a lot of grumbling and complaining, a lot of lack of trust in the Lord who had provided for them the entire time. Let's not forget all the plagues that were inflicted upon the Egyptians, right? Let's not forget the miraculous way they were taken out of Egypt with an outstretched arm and with lots of signs and wonders. They had an unwillingness, though, to be teachable. We talked about that last week. This week carries it on. They didn't learn their lesson. We see some of the same things happening this week in this Torah portion, Korach. It carries over. Nothing new under the sun here. And what I want to talk about today, the root of all this grumbling and complaining, which will continue, is one real basic word, self. S-E-L-F. Self. There was too much self in the children of Israel. This is the root of all their grumbling, of all their complaining, of all their problems. Oh, we don't have it as good as in Egypt. We. It's not you, Lord. It's us. It's what have you done for me lately? Oh, Lord, we don't like the manna and the quail you gave us. Like I said last week, we want some steak, you know? How about at least a little chicken, you know? It's, you know, beans and rice, whatever. Mix up the diet here, Lord. Whatever God gives us something, he gives us something because it's what we need. Maybe not always what we want, right? How many times has he given you what you need, but you want certain things? So you grumble and complain because, yeah, that'll do, but I really want this, Lord. I don't want a used car. I want a new car, God. I don't want an old house. I want a new fancy big house, Lord. Whatever it might be, we're not satisfied. And that unsettledness, that lack of being satisfied is rooted in self. And we're going to talk about that today. But really, the root of all of this self is from pride. And so pride is the word of the day in this Torah portion, Korach. Turn back with me to number 16. We're going to read that verse again in English, number 16:1, and then we're going to read 16:3. So now Korach, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And verse 3 says, they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said to them, you have gone too far. For in all the congregation, for all in the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? So this Korach was clearly miffed that Moses and Aaron had all the power, wasn't he? Why are they in charge? We're all holy. We're all good enough. Why are they better than us? Why is he better than me? I should be in the place that he is in. He took some men, tried to stage a coup in leadership. And this wasn't a small little coup, like, let me get my buddies together, because we've been whispering, you know, behind the shed there for a couple weeks about this Moses guy. No, what does Korach do? He takes not one, not 10, but 250 well-known leaders. They're called chiefs. Basically, this is a tribal society. Remember that. So you had all these tribes. He takes the leaders from these tribes, 250 of them, and brings them together and is ready to overthrow Moses and Aaron. This is not a small thing. You don't just say to yourself one day, let me get 250 of my closest friends and get this going. No, you have to plan this out. This is premeditation here. You had to pick out these people. You had to go and talk to each one. You couldn't group text them. We didn't have texting, right? You couldn't send a mass email, right? I'm going to send out a MailChimp or Constant Contact email and just hit all 250 in one shot. We can get it done in an hour. That's not how it was. You can't just put a post on Facebook and all your Facebook friends come. This takes time. This takes effort. This takes premeditation. You got to go to each person. Hey, because you can't do it too loud, right? You can't let other people on to what you're doing. There's a strategy here. He takes 250 well-known chiefs, not some small band. These are big machers. These are like big-time people in the community. And it's important for us to understand, who was this Korach? Who was this guy, and why did he aspire for this power? He's not just some random guy. And the Torah portion gives us his background. He was a Levite. Now, excuse me, we know that Moses and Aaron were also Levites. Korach was a Levite, and Levi, one of the sons of Jacob, he had 12 sons, right? Levi was the one who the priests were descended from. So you had Levi. Levi begat Kohath, and then he had 3 sons. So we're talking about those 3 sons. Son number 1, Amram. He is the father of Aaron, and Aaron got the priesthood. Okay, so that's son number 1. Son number 2, Uziel, father of Elzaphan. Elzaphan was chosen to be the clan leader. So we got 3 brothers, descendants here, or 3 grandsons, whatever you want to call them. They're all brothers. Amram is the father of Aaron, gets the priesthood. Uziel, father of Elzaphan, who's the clan leader, 2 cousins. And then we had a 3rd cousin and a 3rd peg in the rung here. Izhar, who's the father of Korach. So these 3 brothers beget 3 sons, 1st cousins. 1 cousin, Aaron, gets the priesthood. 1 cousin, Elzaphan, gets to become the clan leader of the entire clan of Levi. And 1 son, his name is Korach. He doesn't get anything. And he's upset because he didn't get a ball, right? He didn't get a trophy, okay? So this is big time stuff, because remember, the Levites had the spotlight on them, didn't they? They weren't just Reuben or Issachar or the tribe of Dan. They were the Levites. All the spotlight, all the glitz and glamour was on them, because you had the priesthood and you had all the sacrifices, and everybody had to go through the Levites to get to God. And then you had the leader of the whole Levite clan, that special clan, who was another branch. And then you had this guy, Korach, who didn't really get anything, right? And he felt like he got the shaft. But he wanted some type of leadership too. Why do my cousins get all these things and I don't? What makes them more important than me? Heck, Uziel is the 3rd born son of Kohath, who's the son of Levi. The 3rd born son has a kid who becomes the clan leader. Korach is a descendant of the 2nd born son. Why wouldn't he get the clan leadership? I understand maybe that Aaron got it because he's from the firstborn son, but why did God skip over me, right? You can hear Korach saying all these things. So what happens is that Moses hears this, he listens to Korach, he listens to this coup that's going on, and it's really important what he does. And it's interesting, he proposes that the Lord would decide who is in charge. He doesn't say, I'm going to take care of matters myself. You know, I was driving a couple of weeks ago. My wife and I were downtown in Savannah, right? And we're going and doing the trolley tour. How many of you have taken the trolley tour in Savannah before? Well, when you take the trolley tour in Savannah, they tell you about all the history of this great city, right? And then there's this one patch of grass, and it looks like a nice little like side park. And they say, oh, it's right by a cemetery, by the way. They said, oh, that's where all the duels happen. I'm like, duels? What's that all about? Well, back in the 1700s, the legislature, and we're talking about the national legislature, because back in the 1700s, many national leaders came from Savannah, right? And there was two in particular that were vying for, I don't know if it was the governorship or one of the seats in Congress in the United States. Well, they got into a fight, and they settled it through a duel on this little patch of grass, right? And that's how they settled things back then. So can you imagine thousands of years ago? Moses, he could have said, listen, we're going to settle this by a duel, or we're going to settle this by this or that, but he doesn't do that. He doesn't try to defend his honor. He doesn't try to say, you're wrong and I'm right because God gave this to me. What he says is, you know what? We're going to let the Lord decide who's in charge. Turn with me to Numbers 16, verses 16 through 17. And Moses said to Korach, be present, you and all your company, before the Lord, you and they and Aaron tomorrow. And let every one of you take his censer and put incense on it, and every one of you bring before the Lord his censer, 250 censers. You also and Aaron each his censer. So Moses is like, let's let the Lord decide this. Everybody's going to show up. It's reminiscent to me of Elijah the prophet, right? And the priests, the 400 priests of Baal. And they go up there and they both get the altars ready to see who the Lord is going to pick. So this is a showdown, so to speak. And Moses says, we're going to let the Lord decide this. Now, it's interesting what Moses says because he talks about the censers and putting incense on the censers. Nothing is by chance in the Bible. Nothing is by chance in the Bible. One of the most holy things that the priests did, one of their most holy responsibilities was burning incense before the Lord. Burning incense. God specifically gave the priesthood to Aaron and his sons. So Korach and the 250 men took their censers, they put incense on it, and Aaron did the same. And I'm sure Korach did not put together what was going on here. There was a parallel what was going on here. Because in the previous book, Leviticus, we see another instance of people with censers and putting things before the Lord that was unauthorized. We see Nadab and Abihu, the first two sons of Aaron, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord. Leviticus 10, 1 through 2. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. This was a big situation because these two individuals, they were the first two sons of Aaron. They were to take over the priesthood. They were right there in line. And because they authorized, they brought unauthorized fire, they died. And then we know that the other two sons, sons 3 and 4, came in and became the first priests with their father, Aaron. But these two offered unauthorized fire. There's a certain way to do it, and they did not do it a certain way. So Korach, I'm sure he didn't catch this, the correlation. This is a holy thing. And Moses is like, everybody, go get your censers. Let's put fire, you know, incense on the censers. Same situation. Gee, I wonder what God's going to do, you know? He did it. He said, we're going to do it the right way. And because they didn't do it the right way, they died the first time. Well, I think we know what might happen this time. We'll see. God has been very precise, and there was specific rules how to come before him, how to build the tabernacle, how to handle the sacrifices. Everything was meticulous. Why? Because he was trying to make a holy nation. This wasn't just because he likes certain things. He's very particular. It was because he's trying to create a people. He's trying to create a culture of holiness. Kadosh, holy. He's trying to create a holy nation, but he doesn't want to stop there. Because ultimately what he's getting at, he wants the nations to see this holy nation, and then he wants the nations to accept him too. Because his great and glorious plan, God Almighty's, is to bring the entire world back to him. Because in the Garden of Eden, we strayed from the Lord and we sinned and broke the fellowship. God is interested in Jew and Gentile, all creation, coming back to him in fellowship. And this was how he would start the process, creating this people, Israel, creating the Jewish people, creating this specific set of things to make a holy nation. So he has a very precise thing. But Nadab and Abihu, they thought they could just do it their way. Why do I have to do it God's way exactly? This seems right to me. We'll kind of modify it a little bit because we feel like this should be. The whole "we feel like," we need to take that out of our vocabulary. What does God say to do? And then we do it because he's got a plan here. But Korach wanted it his way as well, didn't he? Just like Nadab and Abihu. He wanted it his way instead of God's way. So Korach wanted power. Korach wanted to lead, but he wasn't chosen to do that. So there he is. He's offering unauthorized fire, which never ends up well. According to Numbers 3:3, Aaron and his sons were anointed as priests before the Lord. And Moses was clearly chosen as the leader. This wasn't that they got together and decided that they're the best fit. Because guess what? They weren't the best fit. But God frequently chooses not the best fit. Remember King David, number 8 in line. Remember all these people. Remember how God chooses the second born over the firstborn repeatedly. He's trying to get us to see something. Not by power, by might, but by his spirit, says the Lord. It's all about God, not about man. When King Saul was doing all sorts of evil things and defying the Lord, David had every right to kill Saul. Remember that? After all, David was anointed king by the prophet Samuel. After all, David was being chased by Saul. Saul wanted to kill David without cause. And David had to flee for his life. He had to leave his wife, his entire life, and go into hiding from Saul. To the point where David even had to go to the enemy camp across the border to the Philistines, the sworn enemy of Israel, and befriend them to get away from Saul. So David had every right to end Saul for the evil that Saul was inflicting upon him and upon all Israel. But what does David say? This is really, really important. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 6. I want us to catch this today. David said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing that he is the Lord's anointed." Even with all the evil that Saul was doing, even the fact that he was turning his back on God, Saul was, David said, "I'm still not going to raise my hand against him," because God had chosen him. How much more should Korach have said, "Moses and Aaron, maybe I don't like you. Maybe we played when we were kids and you know, put dirt in my face. I don't know, whatever it was. Maybe they made fun of him. Who knows?" It doesn't matter. God chose them. Just like God chose Saul and David had to respect Saul for the sake of his Lord, Korach did not do the same thing. Korach did not give God the same deference through the people that God had brought, had put in that place. So why did Korach do this? Why did he lift his hand against the anointed of God? It was all rooted in pride. Pride is a terrible and insidious thing. There's a famous quote that says, "Temper is what gets most of us in trouble. Pride is what keeps us there." That is really true. Pride will puff you up. Pride will destroy you and those around you. And the Bible, of course, speaks a lot about pride, doesn't it? Proverbs. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 18. "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." It was pride Listen, it was pride that made Lucifer discontent with his role as one of the chief angels and musicians in heaven. What a great job! Can you imagine that? Being one of the head angels and one of the head musicians? I'd like that job. That's a pretty cool job. He wasn't happy with just that. He wanted more. He wanted more. He wasn't content. He wanted to be like God himself. He wanted to be equal with God. But the root of all sin is centered around pride. It was the desire to be like God, to be like knowing good and evil, that caused Adam and Eve to sin and become separated from God, following the pattern of Lucifer. Man has always, since that point, sought to exalt himself throughout history. It's the sin nature in us. We inherently have a desire to sin, and it's because of pride. But there is a better way. The opposite of pride is, of course, humility. Korach was full of pride. Well, let's contrast that with Moses. Moses, it said, was full of humility, right? Numbers 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. Now, when you read the word meek, it's not like, oh, he's so meek, you know, he's so timid and all this stuff. Meek has a different meaning. Well, it's got several meanings, actually. The Hebrew word is anav. And anav means poor, humble, meek, or lowly. It's the opposite of pride. It's not going around puffed up saying, look at me, I'm so great, God chose me. Or look at me, I'm so great, I get to do this, or I get to do that. It's the exact opposite of that. And I'm not saying you got to go around like this and woe is me. But don't go around with your chest puffed out, thinking you're so much better than everybody else because you've been given certain things. Anav, lowly, not prideful, humble, full of humility. What does Moses do when Korach challenges his leadership? He doesn't say, well, I'm the leader because God said it, right? He doesn't say, look at me. He doesn't try to defend himself. He says, let's leave it up to the Lord. God will show who's the real leader. God's in charge. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. Korach was heading for disgrace. Moses, by being humble, Moses, by reacting the right way, wisdom. Wisdom. Something we need to learn today. When we're wronged, when somebody comes against us unfairly, do we want to just punch them back, so to speak? Do we want to defend our honor? Or do we just say, you know what? The Lord will deal with you. The Lord will deal with you. Moses was saying, look, the Lord will deal with you. I don't need to defend myself. I've got God. He's called me to do this. I know it's from God. And the Lord will deal with it. Moses is a great example of how to be humble for us, but the best example is Yeshua himself, our Messiah, Yeshua. Yeshua came as a meek, suffering servant. Yeshua came to this earth not to exalt himself, especially when he could. He decided not to. When he could have, when he was there in the garden, when he was there on the cross, he could have just pulled off the nails and been like, okay, time to take care of business here. Let's go, angels. He didn't do that. He lowered himself for our sake. He was humble, anav. He was meek. He was lowly. He was the exact opposite of what Korach was representing. A meek, suffering servant, he came to this earth not to exalt himself, but to lift up his Father. We are called as messianic believers to be followers of Yeshua. You ask, you know, if someone were to ask you, what do you call yourself? What are you? You really are a follower of Yeshua, right? And as a follower of Yeshua, you follow what Yeshua did. You don't just say, well, God has gifted me with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. He's given me all this power to go cast out demons or whatever. Yes, we have power in the name of Yeshua. But we're called to be followers after Yeshua. So if we see what Yeshua did in his life, it's an example for us in our lives. And we saw the example of the humility of Anav, of Yeshua, and not what Korach did. It's a clear choice for us. If we're going to be followers of Yeshua, not followers of Korach, we need to be like Yeshua. We need to follow Yeshua, not puffed up, not exalting ourselves. Listen, many of you have been called to great things in your life. Many of you have done wonderful things for the kingdom of God. You've been successful in business. You've been successful with your families or whatever. But it's not a means to puff us up. The glory should go to God. Moses understood that. Korach didn't get it. David understood that. Saul didn't get it. We have a choice today. Are we going to be like Korach? Or are we going to be like Moses? Are we going to be like Saul? Or are we going to be like David? Are we going to follow after Yeshua with that example? Matthew 16, 24. Then Yeshua told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Listen, you may never be asked to go to Africa to be a missionary. You may never be asked to go to Israel to minister to hard-nosed Jewish people about Yeshua. You may never be asked to go down in the streets of Savannah and preach about Yeshua. You may never be asked to do that. But God does ask you to do certain things, and we need to listen, and we need to follow after our Master, our Lord and our Savior. That's what he calls us to do. But if we have this thing called self get in the way, we're never going to get there. We're going to follow after the ways of Korach instead of following after the ways of Yeshua. Are we willing to be like Moses and lay down our pride? Are we willing to be like Moses and lay down our lives and follow after Yeshua? Because then when we start to do that, God can use us. God can't use the Korach because he's too full of himself. Many times I've been like Korach. But I want to be more like Yeshua. I want to be more like Moses. I want to be more like David. I want to be teachable. I want to be getting myself out of the way every single day so that God can use me for his kingdom work. Okay? Because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about the Lord. And we need to get that. And we have a choice every day to follow the Korachs or to follow the Moseses. To follow Yeshua in his great plan for us. He's calling us today to deny ourselves. He's calling us today to pick up our cross. To deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow after him. The question is, will we follow after him? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We can study your word, Lord. We can apply it to our lives. And Lord, we see the example clearly of what not to do, the example of Korach. And we see the example of what to do, the example of Moses. Lord, help us because it's not easy out there. Lord, help us because people want to do harm to us. Maybe even just because we represent you, Lord. But Yeshua, give us strength as we follow after you. Recall scripture to our minds. Recall your words to our minds. Because we're so full of self, Lord. But help us to just take that out each and every day. Each and every day to deny ourselves and follow after you freely, Yeshua. Give us strength to do that. Give us understanding to do that. Give us wisdom, Lord God, as we seek your face. And if there's anybody here that has never denied themselves and said, "Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of myself. Forgive me of my pride. I lay it down and I follow after you, Yeshua. I accept your sacrifice for my sins." Then you can do it today. You can just accept him today in your heart. And if any of you have strayed from the Lord, you can just lay down your sins right now at the altar and ask for forgiveness in Yeshua's name. So, Lord, we come to you. We lay our lives before you. We deny ourselves today, Lord, and we say, "Lord, fill us up with knowledge of you. Fill us up with your word. Fill us up with these wonderful words that we can take and get down deep into our heart of hearts. And Lord, give us strength and help us today to follow after you. Lord, sometimes you call us into a valley after you. Sometimes you call us to a mountaintop too, Lord. But whether it's a valley or a mountaintop, help us just to grab the tzitzit, grab the corner of your garments, and just follow after you. We thank you, Lord, because you'll always light the way for us. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Yeshua, you are the light of the world. We thank you. We praise you. We lift our lives up to you, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.